There's one. Set for stun.
Three guys sitting in a dark room that smells like bad cucumbers.
Don't make me angry. You wouldn't like me when I'm angry.
Inconceivable!
Now featuring 11 listeners.
This is the geek.
You slimy scumbag, get on your face and give me 25.
This is the unique geek.
And welcome to another edition of the 50 Days of Dragon Con podcast. As we count down to Dragon Con, what we do on these podcasts is, well, basically talk to the directors, talk to the behind the scenes folks as we get to our favorite Labor Day, right? It's not Memorial Day, right?
Yes, Labor Day. Labor Day, sweetheart.
I always get them
confused.
It's
not Memorial Day. That's May. Do not do that to me. Stop it.
Our favorite Labor Day vacation. For some of us, but the people that we interview, it's usually work.
Yes.
But I'm sure they're having fun too. Anyway, Lee, how have you been?
I have been well. How have you been, John?
I've been okay. Oh, by the way,
please don't count down the number of days because you know I'm gonna cry.
Yeah. As we record this particular interview is 52 days out from Dragon Con. So actually, even though you're hearing this in the future, we're just getting ready to start our 50 day countdown. So.
And John.
Yes.
You've gotten bigger.
That's what she said?
I
don't know. What does that mean?
I set you up for that, dear man. So last year we did 40 days.
Yeah.
And now we're at 50.
Now we're doing 50 because I thought that, you know, sure, why not? 10 more days. What's 10 more days?
Because you
really?
Seriously, you're a masochist?
You know what we're trying to do? We're trying to do 10 times the amount of days that we were actually at Dragon Con, right? So, you know.
No, I really wasn't.
Dragon Con's going to, you know, it's starting to lead up. I know, because it used to be Thursday was the day to get there, right? Now it's kind of Wednesday's the day to get there.
Well, you got to get there Wednesday so you can get comfy and get all set up. And then Thursday, you go and do stuff around Atlanta. And then Thursday night, we go to Trader Vic's. And then and Thursday, you also get your badge.
And then
there is a new badge system now, which is going to be awesome.
Yeah, and if you listen to our last interview with Regina, she mentioned it. And
yes.
Some more things have come out since our interview. But as you're hearing this, they've already been out for like several weeks. But
we have some awesome guests this year. I guess it's the 25th year, so that's really kind of awesome because we're silver. But Carrie Fisher.
Terry Fisher or Carrie Fisher?
What are you Carrie.
Okay.
Carrie. C-A-R.
I thought maybe Dragon Con was trying to pull.
With my southern accent.
They're trying to pull a fast one. We got Terry Fisher.
Carrie. So.
It's her sister.
So that's. And I'm really excited. I mean, you know, she kissed Harrison Ford. That's kind of cool.
Yeah, well, sure she did. But then again, so has Calissa Flockhart, so, you know, whatever.
Okay, whatever.
So anyway, let's get into it.
We can go. Yeah, let's the poor guest.
Lee, why don't you go ahead and introduce who's waiting in the wings?
I will introduce. You may know him by many a name. You may know him by Tom, or by Kearns, or by Tech Ops, or by the guy with the radio who yelled at you because you were in the way, or by the guy who seems to always have a roll of duct tape, or Papa Smurf, or the great creator of pie. But I know him as Thomas Kearns, who is the leader of Tech Ops. Yay! Hi, Tom.
Tom, you there?
Tom?
Did Tom disappear? Tom's on mute.
Seriously, listen.
Are we?
Hi, guys. I'm here.
Oh, there he is. Okay.
Is Tech Ops having technical difficulties?
Excuse my language. He was just fucking with me. Thanks, Tom.
I'm so here. If I drop, you can thank AT&T.
Yes.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yes.
Well,
yeah,
the great Death Star of the phone people.
Tom, is it Tom or Thomas? Or
Thomas. Tom is my dad.
Okay. Thomas, so what is your official, as much as Dragon Con gets official, title with Dragon Con?
My official title with Dragon Con is I am the Director of Technical Operations, or as many know us as the pirate crew.
So, or Tech Ops is also known. And what does
Tech
that
Ops,
mean?
We're also known as the generic term of Tech Ops.
And what does that mean that you do, other than yell at directors for giving you back their damn radios?
Well, what we do at Dragon Con, if it plugs in, has lights, sound, needs a microphone, needs to be seen, needs to be heard, we pretty much own that. Without us, Dragon Con would be very quiet and very dark and very boring.
You're also the people that work with, I mean, I know Dragon Con TV does, but you help a lot with that, about all the stuff that's on Dragon Con TV, especially the live stuff.
Correct. Yes, correct. I've been in some of it, as well as most of the staff at some point or another. We all seem to get suckered into being on camera. But yeah, we are heavily involved. Dragon Con TV doesn't actually really have a home per se. It floats in the world between videography run by Brian and tech ops run by me, and we all just kind of adopt it and take care of it and feed it and water it.
Now
you water it? I don't want to know. Okay, keep going.
Now, so you're in charge of basically lights, cameras, and action, right?
Pretty much, yeah.
And sound. So now, of course, you don't just have all that equipment laying around in your house, do you?
Oh, no,
and,
no, no.
And if so, what's your address?
And if so, can we visit?
No. How do you go about gathering all that equipment and whatnot?
Well, Dragon Con has a contract with a production company that we work very closely with called Musimatic Productions. We get all of our radios, all of our sound equipment through this company. We get all of our lighting through a couple of different contract lighting companies who we work very closely with for the design, installation, and then we have our own trained professionals on staff who actually run all this equipment.
Cool.
And ahead, I mean, it's more than just your regular, okay, I worked AV when I was in high school. I mean, you guys have some, they're like boards and things that I'm scared to touch.
Yeah, we don't play around. We have some pretty high-end equipment that we don't just let anyone just jump on and start playing with. When I'm bringing in staff to tech ops, I'm very particular. We actually have a waiting list just to get on my staff, and currently my staff is almost 225 people strong. You have to actually fill out a questionnaire. You are interviewed to get onto a volunteer position.
Yeah.
Because I need to ensure that you know what you're doing before I put you behind $700,000 worth of equipment.
I have a question. Do you get extra points if you can be up at 7 a.m.? And not just up, but dressed and kind of coherent.
Oh, of course. One of the more sought-after specialty skills on Tech Ops is being a morning person. I actually have one of my captains, if you will, who actually runs tech inside of one of the hotels for me. His home base is in the Hilton. He's known as Morning Bob because the man lives to be up in the morning. He's up at bright and bushy-tailed and bright-eyed at like 6 o'clock in the morning.
It's amazing to us. He's in the Marriott. He talks to me every year. Bob and
I. He used to be in the Marriott. He is now based out of the Hilton as of last year because I moved primary tech ops into the Marriott this year because we're in five hotels. I need to centralize so we can better service everyone. Primary tech ops. I have an operations room in every hotel, but the primary tech ops room, the brain, the heart of Tech Ops, is now run out of the Marriott.
Wow.
Let's go back a little bit. Let's go back into history. How did you get convinced that you wanted this job?
Wait, hold on. Let me add that in a Dragon Con director question, which is, how did you get suckered into doing this?
Thomas? Uh-oh.
The Death Star hates us.
Oh, there we go. Either that or he's thinking long and hard how he wanted to answer this question.
Did the Death Star kill me there?
Yeah,
the Death Star
you now.
Did kind of kill you for a sec. Yeah.
It does that. Okay, can you hear me now?
Yeah.
Yes.
No, that's Verizon.
Okay. How I got suckered into Dragon Con, she had red hair. many years ago, when I was much, much, much younger, a lovely young lady that I was dating at the time informed me of, hey, we're all going to be at this thing this upcoming weekend. You should come down to it and work it as well. And I asked what it is, and she goes, it's a sci-fi convention. And I replied with, but I'm not a geek. And she went, no, trust me. Yeah, well, at this time, I was unaware of what my geek exactly was.
Oh, yeah. Okay, good. Okay, so you were like an in-the-closet geek, or even an
I was apparently in a closet geek, yes.
Or an unaware geek. Okay,
I think it was more of an unaware geek. I mean, to me, I loved Star Wars and stuff of that nature, and but I didn't consider that geeky.
Yeah, okay, gotcha.
But okay. She went...
So when was that? What year was that? Do you remember? I think we might have lost him again.
We'll just wait a second. The Death Star will come back. It turns, you know, it's on an axis, and it turns.
Oh, okay. It's now trying to get his call back. So, hold on one moment.
Okay, wait.
Let me play the technical difficulty song.
Hello? Oh,
there we go.
Hello.
Yeah,
okay.
Hey.
Gotta love this network.
The little dish is back towards us. Okay, so what year did you start with Dragon Con?
1993.
Now, were you volunteering right out the gate, or was it just...
I was. In fact, Dragon Con was my very first convention I ever worked at, period, and I volunteered from day one.
Wow.
Wait, 93? What were you, 12?
I'm not that young, dear.
You seem that young, darling.
Oh, it's that blessed immaturity level that I have.
Yeah, dude, I don't know what picture you have in your attic, but I want to borrow it. Okay. Yeah, and so then you also said that, all right, so you were kind of an unaware geek. And then
I was
later,
an unaware geek.
So you came to Dragon Con and became an aware geek.
I came to Dragon Con and I actually did not work tech.
Really? What did you
My
do?
First 3 years of Dragon Con, I actually was the green room. I was the VIP security guy. I
oh,
worked
really?
Security for my first 3 years. Well, I did tech all through school. I didn't want to do it as a volunteer. I was already doing tech. So I was like, I'm going to do, you know, I'm 6 foot six. Where else can I use that skill? Oh, I can scare
you
people
really,
and into following
are,
orders.
Yeah, you are really tall. So that works. And so then, all right, so you did security, green room security, which is not like regular security.
Yeah, exactly,
and then,
yeah.
And then what did you do? And how did you get suckered into tech ops?
In my free time, because green room security, I was only doing that at night. So I had a lot of free time. And I'm like, well, I'm here. I'm not a geek, so I'm not.
I would like to repeat that. I'm not
going
a geek.
To any of these events. What am I going to do? I'm bored. I started helping out on tech because, yeah, I'll get to that point.
Okay.
I mean, you talked to the guy who had a pirate wedding. Believe me, there's a lot of geek here.
I do.
I started helping out with tech in my free time. And finally realized I was actually having a lot more fun doing that. So on my fourth year, I decided I was going to transfer over to from security to tech. And within the first day, I ended up taking over tech because the tech director at the time broke his ankle during load-in.
Ooh.
Oi!
Wow.
Yeah. So everybody was standing around going, what do we do? What do we do? And I don't know if I just was like, all right, well, we got to get this job done. Let's go.
Let's go. Here we go.
And thus started my illustrious career as tech, because the next year I got the phone call and was informed I was the tech director. I was never actually asked to become the tech director. I was told.
That seems to be a common theme among all the directors and anybody that works at Dragon Con. Is
it
that...
does. My brand new second in command, I never asked him. I just informed him as well. Hey, by the way, you've been promoted. You're my second in command.
Well, actually, what I did is
he's
I said, yeah, well, he should be. I actually told two people who they're a couple, and I said, okay, you guys are the seconds for the morning. You're the second for the afternoon, to the afternoon and evening. And they looked at me and they went, we don't want that job. And I went, tough. It's your job. You're there. Good job. Enjoy.
Exactly.
That's kind of how it works out. It's okay. That's why we have the title director after our name, because we delegate and direct. It's awesome.
But so I started out with a tech staff of 7 people, including me.
And how many are on your staff now?
And you're at how many now?
We're at almost 225 people now.
Wow.
Okay, I am a director. I have 6 under me for a track, which is a lot. How in God's name do you keep up with that many people?
I am blessed with some of the most incredible, talented and hardworking staff I could ever, ever hope to have. These people just blow me away with their dedication to what they do. We have our own HR department. We have our own help desk. We've got our own webmasters. We've got our own catering staff to take care of everybody.
I'll go work in tech. I'll go. I'm raising my hand.
You're going to have to get up in the morning, though, Lee.
I'm already up in the morning.
Yeah, but you're going to be awake in the morning. I guess the difference.
I'm awake in the morning. It's at night I can't stay awake.
Yeah, she's one of those scary morning people.
Mm. He sees me as he's going to bed, and I'm like, hi! And he's like, blah, 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 blah. I'm like, okay, not talking to you anymore.
So now we... We talked to briefly a little bit ago about how you have a company you contract out to, or you have a DragonCon has a contract with to get all the AV supplies. About how many, just off the top of your head, how many microphones do you have to handle during the course of a con? How many do you have on hand?
Oh my! Between the five hotels. All I know is I actually do clean out. The company we use has two warehouses, one here in Atlanta and one in Macon, and we clean both of them out of absolutely everything. They pretty much shut down for DragonCon because they don't have any equipment else to use.
Right.
Now,
does that include projectors and everything too?
Oh, that's projectors, speakers, amplifiers, rack mounts, everything, even some lighting. For some of the smaller track rooms, we provide some of the lighting for that. MMI is not an actual lighting company. They're a sound and audio company. But they do provide some of that. But no, spotlights, megaphones for the parade, they cover everything for us.
And you guys are responsible for making sure all those things are accounted for and returned at the end then?
Correct. I actually have some excessively anal staff members who happen to be really good at inventory management. So... that's what they do, is when the equipment's coming in and off the trucks, they're actually verifying it off of a list that we have to verify that everything came in so there's no discrepancies. And then my crew is phenomenal about keeping track of the equipment, taking care of the equipment, make sure it doesn't get damaged, make sure it doesn't get stolen, make sure, you know, the random congoer who just gets mystified by all the little blinky lights doesn't get up on the equipment and mess with it.
Right, yeah.
Wow. But the blinky
Which at the rave would be harder than you think.
The blinky lights are pretty. I think that's actually, it's so interesting because I have not been there for when you guys set up usually or do a lot of the setup. You do some of the setup when I get there because I get in on Thursday, sometime late afternoon to start setting up my track room. And usually all my stuff's already
Wednesday
there.
Night.
Yeah,
we
start setting up
Wednesday night.
Oh, that was going to be my next question. So you said you start Wednesday night setting up, but when do you actually get finished tearing down?
We start Wednesday night setting up the Marriott. We set up the rest of the five hotels from Thursday morning. We have to be ready to go live because we have musical acts starting at 8 p.m. Thursday night.
Right.
Now, when it comes time for tearing down after the convention, It's all got to be done before we leave on Monday. And it all starts Monday morning.
Oh, wow.
Well, you know, you do some of the track room tear down on. Oh, well, yeah, that's Monday afternoon, isn't it? Whoops, sorry.
Yeah.
I forget that's Monday, not Sunday. Yeah, because it's always amazing because I'll be sitting there and I'll be cleaning up all my stuff, and then all of a sudden they'll come in, and it's like a flurry of these really amazing fairies because they come in and they go, okay, we got to take all this stuff. And I'm like, okay, I'll get out of your way. And it's like, shroop, 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 shroop. Whip, whip, whip around their arms, and then it's like, bye! And you're like, wait, huh? And it's all gone. And it's just amazing. And they're, like, lugging this stuff, which is really heavy. I'm always amazed. Every year at Takedown, I'm always just like, how do they do it so quickly?
Well, one of the advantages I have is most of the core heart of TechOps have been with me since I took it over. So after that many years of... the same people, we can communicate very well. We know what the job has to be done. It's then easy for us to train the new people coming in. And it's just, it's a system. We've become a very well-oiled machine over the years. A lot of the TechOps people, they are my family. I don't actually have a lot of family here in Georgia. So many, many of the TechOps people have become my family.
And I'm always amazed, and I've said it to you, and I say it to Morning Bob, because... Morning, Bob. I'm at the Marriott. That's where he used to be.
Used to be.
I know. I'm going to cry. But with Morning, because he was always happy, just like me in the mornings. And then, but I'm always, it was always like, okay, I'm really, really sorry. But this guest has come in and asked for this, this, and this, and this. And it would be like, all right, I can't get you that and that. I can get you that. I'm like, awesome, sold. And you guys have always tried to work with directors or any of the rooms or anything else. And it's always just been, it's so great because they're so helpful. Whether it's a big room or my track room or whatever, it's always so helpful. And it's such a great relationship with you guys. I just always love working with you.
Well, the number one goal of Tech Ops has always been to help put on the best possible show that we can put on, to make the track events the best possible track events they can be, make the big room events the best possible they can be. The little local band who's never played anything larger than, you know, Smith's Old Bar, and now they're getting a chance at Dragon Con, we try to make them the best sounding band they can possibly be. So we try to work with everybody and help as much as we can.
Now who works out all the, because obviously, let's say you have, you know, 50 projectors, which I'm sure you probably have more than that, but whatever. You certainly don't have enough for one for every single track room. So who works out all the logistics of, you know, getting the equipment to where it needs to be when it needs to be there?
Well, that's when it's very, very, very important for all the track directors to turn in their schedule request and equipment request very early, because then it all goes onto a rather large grid that we pull our data from, and that tells us, okay, this track's going to need a projector for this particular event. They're not going to need one for the rest of the weekend, so they're not going to have one for the full event. So we will rob Peter to pay Paul at times to move the equipment around, and that's where my staff comes in. They've got a schedule they follow. We call them the Bibles. Each event room has one, and it has everything they could possibly need to know in the schedule in that book. So they'll know, okay, it's this hour. This event's coming up. They're going to need this equipment. We will verify that equipment's in that room. If it's not, we'll get that equipment in that room.
Now, do you have a tech ops person in every single room, or
no?
Just the main rooms.
In the main rooms, I have several tech ops people. In the Hyatt on the motor lobby level, that's where all the track rooms are. I actually have a command center down there, and we call Harris because that's the room it's in. And that's where a lot of the equipment is stored. That's where the schedule's at. And that's where I keep a large group of what we call runners. So their job is, whoever's running that room tells them, take this piece of equipment to whatever room down there.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what they do. It's the same as what Morning Bob does in the Hilton. Not the Marriott, the Hilton. And that's also what my people who do in the Marriott, where we took over in there. So for the larger rooms, we always have staff on site. Some of the rooms almost 24 hours a day.
Mm-hmm. Very cool.
Now, Lee had some questions about...
But Tech Ops is a 24-hour department.
Oh, really?
Yes, because there's always stuff
stop
going
until,
on.
Yeah, we start around 8 or 9 p.m. on Wednesday night. We do not stop until the last truck is loaded Monday night.
How they're Dragon Con's roadies, essentially, right? That's basically what pulls out.
Basically, yeah. Only what I like about Tech Ops is I've got a lot of people on my staff, myself included, who have been roadies in the past. But I also have a rocket scientist on my staff. I've got, you know, lawyers. It's really an interesting slice of American geek life, because I have a little bit of everything on Tech Ops. And then you see that at a convention in general. I've become friends with people who are, you know, mercenaries for hire in their real lives, but, oh, hey, look, they're at Dragon Con dressed as, you know, some sci-fi character. Okay, who knew?
Sailor Moon. But I digress. I have a quick question for you. So when did... I actually have two questions, but I'm going to start with this one. So when did you finally come out of the geek closet? And then I have a follow-up question, because I know something that I did not know about until about 3 or 4 years ago. So, but let's ask about the geek closet first.
Okay, when did I come out of the geek closet? Well, I mean, after that very first year, I realized, you know, there is something about this. I mean, the addiction had set in very quickly. I couldn't believe how much fun I had that first year. Especially my first year, and I was green room VIP security. So I'm actually dealing with a lot of the guests, people who I had grown up watching. I spent, you know, the first day and a half dealing with Anthony Daniels, even though I didn't realize it was Anthony Daniels. I just knew it was this rather short British gentleman.
Who was very nice. or at least to me, nice. The time I met him. Yeah. Okay.
It was an interesting experience meeting.
Okay, let's go with that.
And you know, I mean, and over the years, actually, that's something I've met many of my childhood heroes. Some of them have not been the best experiences in my life. You know, that's when I got to realize, and like something I should have realized as a child, but you know, for some reason I did not, that their character on TV is not that person. But I've also had the experience to meet, hang out with, and become friends with a lot of incredible people, not just the guests, but other convention people, the fellow staff members, all of us that are putting in our time to make this crazy convention happen. So I would say me realizing I was geek happened real fast, because after that first year, I could not wait for Dragon Con to get back the next year, because I just couldn't wait to see these people again and to do the same thing again, to spend 3 or 4 days of not sleeping and living off of nachos and spam out of Con Suite, you know, that sort of thing.
Yeah, okay, I don't have that part. All right, so a couple of years ago...
I think I'm on staff now, because I don't want to do that anymore either.
Yeah, I don't... Yeah, no. All right, so a couple of years ago, and I had been a drag director for a couple of years by this point. I don't want to say how many. All of a sudden, somebody came up to me and goes, Lee, why don't you have any pie? And I went, well, there's no pie here. And they went, no, Tom's pie. Thomas's pie, excuse me. And I went, I don't have any of Papa Smurf's pie. I didn't know Papa Smurf had pie. And they then explained to me that I didn't understand what pie was and that I had totally missed out on a Dragon Con experience. So why don't you tell us about pie, Thomas?
Pie. Okay. Well, many years ago, long before, even before I started doing Dragon Con, I used to be a Civil War reenactor. And made a...
And hold on 1 second.
Wait a
and
second.
You didn't think you were a
you
geek?
Go first. You go first, John.
I'm
wait.
I'm done. That's my simple
you're
question.
Done,
you didn't think
it.
You were a geek?
All right. So you were a Civil War reenactor.
Yeah, I didn't think I was a geek.
In high school and college.
I didn't think
you
I was...
You liked Star Wars and Star Trek, and you were still in the geek closet? Dude, that's called... There is a river in
Civil
Egypt
War reenactor. I was a historian. There's nothing geeky about that. I was a historian.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Keep going, dude.
Turn around and play with gunpowder and guns, people. Come on.
Oh, man. I wasn't doing it. Yeah. All right. Keep going. Dude. River
we
in
all
Egypt
have our,
is more self-aware. Okay.
Our blinders so. About things, okay?
Okay.
But I had started making pie when I was doing reenactments, and originally it was known as apple pie. It was based loosely upon similar other drinks that were popular around that time period, kind of like your mint juleps, you know, sitting on your front porch enjoying the breeze and sipping at a tasty alcoholic beverage to help cool you off. Well, I had done an event and the same weekend, right? Before Dragon Con, so I brought some of that extra with me because I just happen to have it, and it's over this stuff. And now it pretty much is its own entity, if you will. I mean, I have people come to me asking me if I've had pie, and I'm like, well, yeah. But the reason it's known as it's called pie is it smells and tastes like a homemade apple pie in a bottle.
Okay, so explain what is it? Well, I mean, roughly, and we'll say that you heard it from a friend who heard it from a friend who. What is How's it made and what is it?
Well, I mean, it's apple juice and apple cider and some sugar and some cinnamon and some cloves and a whole lot of grain alcohol.
It's a secret recipe, John.
And time.
And yeah, as I say, there's actually an entire process involved with it that I never tell people, and that's the secret part of it. Because it's become so popular that it is widely bootlegged, if you will, people making their own versions of it constantly. And
you gotta have the original pie.
Yeah,
I finally had some last year, and I only got a little itty bitty tiny glass.
Now
I was like, oh. So, somebody shared, and I was so excited.
You aren't distilling your own alcohol, though, are you? Because that would be.
I am not. No. The alcohol is actually purchased legally from
some
guy's
backyard.
Package store, you know, so I'm paying the taxes on it and everything. So no, there's a cooking process on the mix, and then the grain alcohol is added to the mix.
Awesome. Cool. Okay. So, now the other question.
We'll see if they like
it. It has become very popular.
I don't even.
Personally, you don't even what?
I don't drink it.
What?
I don't
what?
Like it. I don't drink it.
I can't believe you guys are drinking this.
What?
I'll keep making it because people still like it, but I'm not
That's
a big
like
fan
a chef
of
saying they don't. What do you?
Oh, I will sample it. I always sample every batch because I want to make sure it's up to my specifications. But I don't sit there and drink it. I'm more of a Jägermeister kind of guy myself, or a good Scotch.
Ooh.
Don't get Lee started. Oh, don't get Lee started, please.
Oh, I got one now. Sure. What?
What on the Scotch or the Jaeger?
Yes.
Scotch. I'm a Scotch.
Yeah, I like good Scotch.
Oh, I'll share some with you soon. I'll bring some. Okay.
All right. So
I'll be quiet.
Let me go back. Let me go to some of your other. Well, first of all, I actually did have a question that popped into my head, which is so I know you have staff working basically, well, not basically the entire duration from, as we discussed, from Wednesday to Monday. How many hours do you put in during DragonCon?
Well, I'm technically on call and available the entire time. I mean, I do get sleep. This past year, I finally had actually reached burnout. I had finally gotten to that level, and I actually tried to quit last year. I called up our glorious leader, Pat, and explained to him, I'm like, I'm very burnt out. I'm just not having as much fun as I used to. I'm really tired of this. I think I'm done. And Pat informed me, no, not allowed.
And that was that. That was the end of the conversation.
And that was pretty much the end of the discussion. So I was like, oh, okay.
Well, see, there's things directors get to tell our staff, and then there's things chairman gets to tell the directors.
Yeah. So Pat pretty much informed me that I needed to delegate my authority, that I was just killing myself because it's my family. I've worked very hard working with a lot of incredible people to build up such an incredible staff that it was hard for me to not want to be there to help them at all times. But obviously, I just something I couldn't do, especially with us expanding out to 5 hotels. Unless Pat's going to rent me a Segway, it's just no way I can be everywhere.
Ooh,
maybe he could. Wait, did you approach that idea?
Not yet, but man, I'm thinking about it because I wore a pedometer last year because I was curious how much I walked, and I put in close to 50 miles.
Right,
DragonCon weekend.
Yeah, and going from Weston to Sheridan could be.
Yeah.
Well, you know what?
Suck it on a Sunday.
Good cardio.
I actually thought about doing a pedometer like 2 years ago, and I actually decided not to because I know my legs hurt. I don't want to know how much they hurt or why.
It was just something I've always been curious about. So I finally wore it, and I clocked it at like 48 miles. I was like, wow, no wonder my feet hurt so bad.
Comfortable shoes.
Yeah, mine
that's
is like
secret.
my upper thighs. I'm just like, okay, ow. Yeah, by about Monday, about 2, I'm just like, I don't want to walk anymore. Don't make me go to the shirt. Please don't make me go to the shirt. Okay,
So because of that, I actually finally brought on an assistant to help me out, Danielle. She is my daytime director person. So she was always good with the daytime stuff anyway. She is probably one of the reasons I'm so well organized is because that girl is phenomenal with organization. And I really can't appreciate her enough on a lot of the that she has done for me. Because there's just a lot of things that I just can't keep on top of as much as I used to because there's just too much of it. And she's just, Rain Man when it comes to that.
She is awesome. So, Danielle is awesome. You will, for those who have been around Con for a while, Danielle has glasses and long, wavy, curly hair. And you'll see her in the mornings. And she always has a smile and she's always, always nice. And she has a radio on her head. And you usually see her in one of the main rooms in the Marriott, or used to, at least, in the Marriott and the Hyatt.
And I know exactly who you're talking about.
Yeah, originally she used to run she was my daytime runner for the Centennial Ballroom, one of the larger ballrooms that we have.
Yep.
And thus a very important position.
Yeah. And she's just always great. She's always been wonderful, and I love working with her. I love working with your guys that are in the big Regency, what is it, 6, 7, and 8, or 5, 6, and 7?
5, 6, 7.
567. Love working with them. They're some of my favorites too.
Oh, well, I've got a new person that's going to be in there during the day this year.
What'd you do with my guy with the glasses?
He is actually running the Atrium Ballroom over in the Marriott because
okay,
Jeff...
that's fine, because I'll be there
yeah.
too.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, yeah, my father is actually going to be running the Regency during the day.
Oh, cool! Yay! I get to meet Tom.
Yes, you get to meet Tom. He's a much, much shorter version of me.
And where'd you get it?
I don't know. I'm a mutant, because I look just like my dad. I'm just really giant.
And he is really giant. I mean, you know, I'm kind of normal height. And he's just really, shut up, John. And he's just really, really tall. So I would just like to say that. All right. So let's get to some of the last questions here because we've been on a while. But the question is, who are you, with the current list saying that we are taping on what, 52 days out?
Yes, we're taping at 52 days out currently.
Who are you excited about seeing if you get to see anybody?
The one person I'm excited to see for a really, really silly reason. For years, anytime I've been at trivia games, anytime some just ludicrous question comes up that I have absolutely no idea what the answer could be, I would just yell out Ernest Borgnine. Because I knew one of these times, that answer is going to be right.
That's going to be right. Yeah.
It hasn't happened yet, but I just know it's going to happen. Yeah. And so when Ernest Borgnine showed up on our guest list, my first reaction was, he's still alive? And my second reaction was, awesome, I'll get to meet the man.
Yes, that's going to be kind of cool. That is a really cool one, actually. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we have an Oscar winner at Dragon Con this year.
Who's
Martin Landau.
Oh. You won an Oscar? What did he win an Oscar for?
He won an Oscar for
supporting
Ed
actor.
Wood.
Yeah, supporting actor. That's right.
Yes, he did.
Yeah.
He got an Oscar for that?
Yeah, he did.
Yes, he did.
Wow.
Kind of awesome.
You know, it's more, and no offense to Mr. Landau, because he's a brilliant actor, but it was more of a lifetime achievement type thing.
I mean, don't care. He has an Oscar.
There were several other people that were nominated that year that probably had better performances, but he's been doing such great work with such a lot of weak material time. So anyway, I'm quiet now. Okay. I'm quieting. You go.
No, you're her now.
Oh.
I just asked the last question.
Oh, okay, so let me ask you, what about the in the past? Who do you have any fond memory? Well, obviously, you probably have lots
of
fond memories.
Like I said, I've had a lot of great experiences. I got to hang out with a gentleman who made me feel short, and who was also one of my childhood heroes, Peter Mayhew, who plays Chewbacca. I spent a great deal of time up in the VIP suite room talking to him and Jeremy, who was Boba Fett, two of the absolute and just nicest guys. And that was really cool. But the closest I've ever come to, I guess you could say, a fanboy moment was years ago. For anybody who knows me at Dragon Con knows I do a lot with the Stargate groups, and I tend to dress out in Stargate costuming. One, because it's comfortable.
But again, you're not a geek.
But I'm not a geek.
Ask him about his hair in a minute, but keep going. Keep going, Joe. Keep going, Tom. Miss.
Okay, the hair had nothing to do with geek. But, we had Don S. Davis, who portrayed General Hammond. We were lucky enough to have gotten him, I think, two or three times before he died a few years ago. And he, for some reason, his character always just struck a chord with me. He was my favorite person on the show. And so getting a chance to actually spend time with him, buy the man a lot of Heineken. He really loved his Heineken. And just get to talk to him. And he was such a warm, warm, just caring gentleman. And that's of all the memories. I mean, I got engaged at Dragon Con at the Masquerade in front of 30,000 people. But the moment that stands out for me is spending time with Don S. Davis.
I actually have to say, he actually called me Little Darlin'. And I blushed. And I was like, thank you. He did one panel in my track the last year he was there.
Yeah.
And he called me Little Darlin', and I kicked myself. I got a picture of all my staff with him, and I just felt very embarrassed asking to get a picture with myself. But he called me Little Darlin', and I will always remember. He literally was one of the most gentlemanly men I have ever met.
Yeah, he really was.
He really was. He was just a very, very nice man. And adding on to that, he was great. He's one of those that you could just go, yeah, glad I got that chance.
I mean, I've made friends with some of the other guests, which has given me some serious geek cred, even though I'm not a geek. I've become very good friends with Grant from the Mythbusters. Talked to him a bit, and you know, it's always fun to hang out with him at the convention. And Steve from the Ghost Hunters, I received lots of drunken texts from him over the time. So
over the time at Dragon Con?
At Dragon Con, and then just randomly throughout the year, I'll hear from him.
That's awesome.
So, I mean, like I said, I've been very lucky over my years of Dragon Con to meet some incredible people and work with a lot of incredible people.
Cool.
And so, the hair had nothing to do with being a geek.
Okay, let's talk about that, because you, when I first met you, I didn't even know your real name. I was told you were Papa Smurf, and that's what I was supposed to call you. And I have no idea if that was the hazing initiation for staff or what. But you... around Dragon Con, you first of all have very dark hair already and a big head full of it, and you put a what color streak in your hair?
It was a custom color, but it was effectively it was Pepsi can blue.
Yes, Pepsi can blue. That's pretty awesome. That's a good way to describe it. And you used to have a streak just right like on the side.
I had it framed my face, if you will. I had two streaks on either side.
Mm-hmm. That
and
was
I
very
had
cool.
Hair down to almost my elbows, so I had long hair, and it was long and very bright blue, and I became quite well known for the blue hair.
Okay, see, now that's funny, because by the time I met you, when I became staff, which is almost 15 years ago, oh my God, you had short hair by then. I didn't. Yeah. You didn't have the long hair by then.
Yeah,
I only saw the little tiny streak.
Yeah, it was a very hot, humid June day, and in a horrible fit of I can't take it anymore, I came home and to my first wife and was like, make an appointment, I'm cutting it off, and it was gone. And I don't think it'll ever be back, because I don't ever want to go through that page boy haircut stage when your hair's growing out. It just gets that level and doesn't look right.
Oh, yeah. You could do an awesome Lancelot.
That's okay.
Oh, darn. Okay. John, your turn.
We did have one other traditional question that we ask, which is, if you could have any guest, your dream guest, matter of fact, we'll even let you have three. They could be alive, dead, they could be undead, whatever you want. Who would they be? Or who would that one person, or three people, whatever, be?
Wow. I'd have a hard time coming up with one, honestly, because I'm not there for seeing stuff like that. I mean, it's funny when people talk about, oh, you got backstage access because you're in charge of all of it. It must be awesome that you can go to any panel you want. I'm like, I'm there because I enjoy working with that staff. I'm there because I enjoy seeing my friends, and I'm there because that's just what I love to do. I don't really go to panels. It's rare to see me in a panel. I think I went to one panel last year, and that dealt with voiceover stuff.
Oh, yes.
Because I do that. But as far as that one guest, I mean, I've actually had the pleasure of meeting most of the ones that have had that impact on me in life. Trying to think of the one. I just don't know, because, again, I've had that pleasure of meeting most everyone. I guess it would be really cool to hang out with Ernest Borgnine. I mean, that'd be kind of cool.
And you may get your wish.
And I'm getting my wish this year, because hopefully he'll still be alive by Dragon Con. But yeah, no, I mean, I can't think of anyone. Their joke was always that everybody wanted me to get a picture taken with Jonathan Frakes, because at one point I had a beard and everybody kept saying I looked like him. So I did get a chance to meet him. That was awkward.
Was that really awkward?
Well, because did he look at your beard and go, oh, you're one of those guys that's trying to be me?
No, thankfully, I didn't have the beard. I got tired of the comments, so I shaved down to a goatee. And I'm like, all right, cool. Now I don't look like him anymore. And then the episode aired with his twin, who shaved to a goatee and went by his middle name, which happened to be Thomas. I'm like, I can't get away from this.
Nice.
We'll get you.
All right, well, I guess that's it. How do we end this in a more awkward way,
kind of look like Jonathan Frakes' evil twin?
Yeah, that works.
Anyway, Thomas, thank you so much for all that you do at Dragon Con, first of all. And, you know, making it the event that it is, and I know that every year we look forward to our Geek Christmas, which happens to fall this year in September. Always falls in September, but sometimes it's a little bit in August. Because without you guys, it just... we wouldn't have the show that we have, and the people in row 78 wouldn't be able to see anybody that's on the stage anyway. So without you guys, so there you go. And thank you for spending time with us. I really appreciate it.
Oh, it was a pleasure.
Thank you,
Lee.
Thank
no
you.
Problem,
Lee. Thank you for joining me again.
Thank you for inviting me.
Well, since this is kind of our thing now, we
It's still your podcast.
Well, whatever. Anyway. Until next time, for all the folks at the Unique Geek, see you at Dragon Con.
Bye-bye.
This has been a production of The Unique Geek. To leave a comment or suggestion, call us at 833-210-TUG, or email us at thegeeks@theuniquegeek.com. Follow The Geeks on Twitter, @TheUniqueGeek. Visit our list serve at listserv.theuniquegeek.com. This podcast is distributed under a Creative Commons Share Alike non-commercial license.